Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, we're going into part two of the Forgiveness in Marriage series, and I have a very special guest, Patrice Mills, who's a child of God, mother, sister, friend, coach, student, dog and horse lover, artist, and an exercise junkie. She dreams big and encourages others to do the same, since we only go through this life once, and she also reigns in the kitchen. Now, I met Patrice through my coaching course, and during that time, she's become like a mother to me, and I've appreciated her counsel, her wisdom, and all the conversations we've had. She comes to us with a story of how she came to divorce her husband. And when she told me this story, I was on the edge of my seat. And I want you to listen. So here's the interview. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten. Today, I have my very special coach friend with me, Patrice! Yay! Say hello!
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, this is my good friend, Patrice. Now, I'm telling you right now, she's probably worked every job you can think of, just to let you know. She's just really a cool person. Y'all, oh gosh, she's just a really cool person.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Oh, my goodness. So thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate this. So if you can just tell the people about you, just let them know who you are.
My name is Patrice. I am a native Marylander. I am the mother of four grown daughters. I've been employed as a chef for over 20 years, although COVID's kind of killed that. So I am learning coaching with my dear friend Dwayne here. And we're rocking it. I got to tell you that. Yes, I've had a lot of jobs because I'm the kid that if you put out a bowl of apples, I probably took a bite out of each one and somebody had to cut around it and make a cobbler out of the rest. It's just life's interesting to me. And there are a lot of things I've wanted to try. And I'm not your timid personality. I'm very outgoing, very friendly. I am into horses, rescuing dogs, dance, and I'm actually trained as an opera singer.
Y'all see what?
In my 20s, I was a professional model, but if you looked at me now, you'd say, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no. Oh, we believe you. We will believe okay. You. Okay. You see what I mean? Y'all see what I mean? And that's just a couple of stuff that she did, but you know what? Oh, anyway, I just want to start off with this icebreaker really quickly before we go into it, which is, what is your favorite dessert?
Ooh.
I had to ask the chef this question.
Yeah, even though I have this lifelong love affair with ice cream, I'm going to have to step on the other side of the fence for a minute and say cheesecake.
Ooh.
Oh, I love cheesecake. I make a caramel apple cheesecake. I make a vanilla cheesecake. I make one with strawberries. I make a chocolate cheesecake and a chocolate chip cheesecake. I've been chefing for years. I make everything.
You had me at chocolate chips. You had me at the chocolate chip cheesecake. Oh.
Okay. Well, if we were meeting in person, Dwayne, I'd bring you one. Otherwise, I got to figure out where you live and drop it off at the door.
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that sounds so good now. Oh, that sounds so good.
Sorry, I didn't bring one for Zoom.
No, it's all good. It's all good. If you had, I would have said, oh gosh, you need to mail that to me immediately. But let's see, what's mine? It's a tie for me. It's a tie between peach cobbler.
Ooh.
And a cake that my dad taught me how to make. It is a coconut pineapple three-layered cake.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Oh, it's delicious. It's a yellow cake. However, it
it's a layered cake, but the thing is, it's cooked or boiled pineapples and sugar and all this other ingredients. And you drizzle that on top of the cake so the juices are absorbed into the cake.
Oh, so you've got a nice moist cake. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have
sounds good.
Yeah, you have egg whites also as like kind of like the icing. And then you just sprinkle like coconut shavings over it.
Okay, I'm in. Where's mine?
It's funny, my dad made one for Thanksgiving too.
Oh, he made one
for Thanksgiving, and I definitely best believe I took me and my wife a piece. Did she get a slice? I'm not going to answer that question, but I will say that I brought it home. That's what I will say. Okay. Yeah. So thank you for, again, I know I've said it before, but I want to say thank you for doing this again, because when you told me your story, I said immediately I wanted you on this podcast.
Yes.
And especially for this series that I'm doing. So the floor is yours. Please tell them your story.
Okay, well, it's very appropriate that I'm here talking on this podcast, because forgiveness has been a big thing. And I believe we discussed the fact that I have sat in many a church service thinking that the pastor was going to say my name.
Yep.
Or the pastor or preacher, whoever, was going to say my name, because when they get on the topic of forgiveness, I kind of crawl under the chair or the pew, you know? It's been a very hard thing. I don't think it's easy for anyone, but for some people, it's even harder. And for whatever reason, it was harder for me. We spoke about the trouble I had in my divorce. I had been married 23 years when we had had some problems. I had no idea when I married him the temper my husband had. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no idea. And out of the blue, 23 years with one daughter in college and one daughter just going into middle school. So those are the two ends of the spectrum with my kids. He came to me intoxicated one day and said, by the way, I'm moving out Monday. Well, this was a Saturday night, and I was cooking for my number three daughter's high school graduation party.
Wow.
And he was just laughing and telling me like it was some kind of joke or something, but I knew it wasn't, because he's not the kind of person that would take something like that lightly. Now, yeah. As I said, he was intoxicated, but went through the party, and sure enough, that Monday, he packed and moved. But there was a race to the bank, because I thought, half what's in the accounts. We owned a business together and I work with him. I thought half of what was in the account was mine and half was his. And I am a fair person and I would not take things from people who don't belong to me. But he saw it necessary to drain and close accounts.
Oh no.
I was working a very part-time job.
Right.
So that meant my kids and I could live on $250 a month. It wasn't working. I was in the family home. We still had the business. I tried to work with him at the business for a while. And I knew that was over one day when I worked. And I said, you owe me some money for X amount of days that I've worked. He reached into a cash box and he threw it on the ground at my feet, almost as though, okay, well, if I've got to pay you, you got to bend over and pick it up.
Wow.
And I decided this was not happening. So I quit working for him, and I then went into a 3-year-long process between his leaving and my actually having a court remedy, being divorced, having something legal that said, I get this, he gets that, whatever. It was so hard on my daughters. I was surprised that it was as hard on the oldest, who was in college, as it was. But it really was, I guess, because sometimes when you're in that type of situation, you assume that home is going to be what it's always been.
Yeah.
And you assume that when you go home for the holidays, it's going to be a certain way and just, whatever. It may not be what you love. Sometimes you may be like rolling your eyes and saying, oh, mom and dad. But it's predictable. and our lives became anything but predictable at that time. I really had a lot of problems when he left me. I was on another round of Lyme disease. We lived in an area that was very endemic for Lyme disease, and this was about my third go around with it. So I was sick. I was broke. My kids were all reacting differently. One of my daughters was so afraid of her father that at Christmas time, I told the family she was visiting a relative. I literally moved her to the relatives for her own safety. She was scared and she was having health issues. The minute she was out of there, the health issues resolved. And
she's
still good today. So stress is a very powerful thing.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah, it really is. But I had quite a number of very bad incidents. He knew that he could just come into the family home when he was mad, and the door would open and he'd be yelling. He would come over and say, "This belongs to me," and walk off with something, which, you know, that didn't bother me quite as much. That being yelled at all the time is kind of unsettling. But I was getting very hateful. I had to do something for myself because I was very depressed. I was very sad. I didn't know what the future is. This is a woman over 50. Maybe when you're 30, you can look at life and say, well, I could do this, that, or the other thing. But life was on a path for me. Perhaps it wasn't the best. I didn't realize that at the time. Well, maybe I did realize it because we'd had a number of really bad years. But I didn't have a choice other than to stay because of my kids.
Yeah.
My job was really part-time, obviously, by $250 a month. I mean, I was spending, I could buy the kids, you know, their piano lessons or something. But at any rate, I had one incident where I came home from the grocery store and he was in the house. He was not supposed to be. He was in the house and I saw him ripping cables out of the wall. He was ripping the Comcast cables out of the wall violently, just pulling them for whatever happened. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm not paying for you to have internet." Well, Dwayne, I had just signed up for college after being out of college over 20 years. I was determined to become something. I became that determined when I found myself at a food pantry, sitting next to a drug addict who could not sit there and wait because she had to keep running out to the parking lot to throw up.
Whoa.
Sitting across from a guy that was very disgusting and looking at me in very disgusting ways. And I just sat there and I was like, "Good Lord, I don't ever want to come here again. I'm going to do everything in my power to make myself into something so I can take care of my kids." So here I am. With an online college, I was accepted. Everything, you know, I got the classes I wanted, got the financing. I was broke. Of course, they could finance me at that point. But I had no internet. I had to drive 25 miles to go to a relative's house. Use their internet. I did that for 4 to 5 months. So if I had a paper, I would, you know, finish what I was doing with the kids, my little part-time job, you know, I would do that every now and then. And then I would have to get in the car and drive the 25 miles and go sit there. And I was in a field that required a lot of research. I was a social sciences major. So I would have to do all the research for my papers. And sometimes it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning and I would be driving in what I had at the time was an unreliable car, driving home in the dark, 25 miles, and hoping that everything was okay at home. I mean, I had kids old enough to, you know, watch the younger one, but it was horrible.
Yeah.
And I was very angry. I resented the position he put me in. You know, if he wanted someone else, and basically that was the crux of the thing. I was like, this is not the way to do it. It wasn't what he did. It's how he did it. In some ways, I was actually relieved after some of the treatment I had that he was gone. And he eventually left me alone in the house when I got a lawyer. I got a very powerful, outspoken female lawyer that was a wonderful advocate for me. And basically, I was able to stop communication with him at that time, and she took over. But there was a time where my life was so out of control. I was depressed. I was sick. I was trying to do school when I was constantly distracted, worried about money, worried about my kids. I had one child that was, of course, recovering from being sick, and she was recovering, but it was slow. Yeah. I had one that was totally confused, one that was at college, kind of lost, and one that decided my world's falling apart, so I'm going to rebel like crazy. Of all times to go off the deep end, it was so hard. One night, I was in the house. It was a creaky old house, and the kids that were there with me were in bed, the two. One was at college and one was with relatives. And I just felt such a darkness. And I'm a believer. And I'm a Jesus girl. And feeling that darkness, I didn't know what it was. I don't even need to get into that here, but it just amplified everything else for me. I got out of bed. I got on my knees in the dark, raised my hands, and I was like, Lord God, I'm giving this to you. Please take it. I cannot do it anymore. And I sat there and I cried for about 2 hours. Got in bed and I cried for 2 hours. Couldn't go to sleep. So I pushed the pillows up. I like tons of pillows, and there was a big bed anyhow from when there'd been two people in it. And so I made the pillows the shape of a person. And I pretended I was curling up on God's lap, and I went to sleep.
Wow.
So then I had to work on forgiveness. I knew I had to. I kept hearing the pastors. And when I said the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those.
Yeah.
Oh man, I liked my freelance prayers a lot more during that time because I didn't have to say those words.
Yeah.
I found that forgiveness was something I had to take in bite-sized pieces. I had to forgive him for pulling the cables out of the wall. I had to forgive him for a nasty comment in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little trouble forgiving him because he eventually moved home, and there were two homes on our property. He eventually moved home to the home on the other side of the property, which is about 40 feet from my home, brought his girlfriend with him.
I'm sorry, what?
He brought his girlfriend with him.
Oh, dear.
Moved her in. Hey, Dwayne, beats a friend of mine. My friend had her husband move out, get his girlfriend, and bring her into the house and in her son's lift. My friend moved to the attic. I mean, people do weird stuff. I kept telling my girlfriends, I was like, I feel like I should be on Jerry Springer show or something. We should be tearing somebody's hair out. I mean, that's not my demeanor. I'd like to think I hold myself better than that. But my youngest came to me and said, Mommy, who's that lady? Well, at the risk of sounding like an old-fashioned country western song, I looked at her, I said, honey, that ain't no lady. Okay, so I could forgive the cables. I could forgive some of the other things. But that was a real tough one for me.
Yeah.
That took the longest. But I decided God didn't say exactly the method for forgiving. You know, you don't have to do it all at once. So I took bite-sized chunks and I tried with the smaller pieces. And there were a lot of times I took it back. You know, as humans, I think we have this desire to control our world. So I would take back the forgiveness. I'd be like, oh, I'm mad at him. Well, you just have to do it all over again.
Yeah.
But one thing I found with forgiveness in my situation, I felt like I didn't want to forgive initially because I thought if I forgive him, then people are going to think it really wasn't a thing. I'm going to think that everything that I've said he did was not real or wasn't important to me. It was like I had to hold it on to keep it real so that I could identify with my situation. I don't know if that is clear, but there were a lot of other things I ran into a lady from our church at a grocery store. And I was outside trying to get a cart, and she was coming out, and she came up to me, and it was one of those ladies. You know, the ones that you like hide behind, you see them and you hide behind the door.
Yep.
Tell them anything personal, you know. Anyway, she came up to me and she was like, "Oh, Patrice, you look pretty good considering."
Oh, gosh, and it's one of them.
I looked at her and I said, "Considering what? What are you trying to say?" And
she said,
"Well, your husband stood up at coffee hour and announced that he was divorcing you because you were mentally ill." I said,
"Oh, no.
Excuse me?" He said, "What?" And she said, "Oh, yes." He said, now, mind you, she conveniently forgot that when my lawyer contacted her to testify. Oh, but that was another pill that was very hard to swallow. And that was another thing that took a lot longer. But I realized something in the whole process. By not forgiving, there was one person being hurt, and it wasn't him. It was me. You don't always forgive for the other person. Matter of fact, sometimes I have worked in a divorce ministry for the last 3 years. And I've had people say, "Oh, when I told my husband I forgave him," or "when I told my wife I forgave her," they got mad at me and said, "I don't want your forgiveness. I don't want anything from you." So you can't always predict how someone else is going to handle something. But you need to know what you need. And what I needed at that time was self-care. What I needed at that time was even more Jesus than I already had. And he's prominent in my life, so that's asking for a lot more. And I needed to work on the forgiveness for me. I saw a lot of things happen the night that I was on my knees telling God I gave him everything.
Yeah.
One of the elders at church contacted me and said, "We have someone in church that does exactly what you do, but she's moving and she has a full clientele list. She has a business already set up and she'd like to give you her business."
This woman
went so far as to try and transfer her business insurance to me, which could not be done. But I went, my income immediately went up 10 times. Immediately. I mean, and that's just starters, because then I took off from there. I had other things resolve with my kids. I went back to my healthcare practitioner and I went the holistic route with Lyme. I did not do well with conventional medicine, but that's a whole nother story.
I got you.
And they were able to work on it and I was healed. I started pulling A's in school, which I hadn't pulled anything yet. I'd been out of school over 20 years, you know, and here I'm writing research papers, which I love. I loved it the first time when I was doing it. So things started falling into place. A family member said, "I realize the hang up for you is a divorce lawyer." And I was not about to trust him to. It's one thing to try and forgive somebody, but when somebody hurts you, trusting is quite another thing entirely. And it's not always recommended.
Yes. There was a quote someone said, "Trust can be lost in an instant, but can be rebuilt in a lifetime."
Yes.
There was a quote, I have to find out who said that, but that sounds like you're basically echoing that. Continue on, I'm sorry.
Yes. So I didn't trust him to have the lawyer, which is a good thing because the lawyer was very combative. And I got myself a very sassy lawyer who had handled a lot of female cases.
Yes.
She was amazing. We are friends to this day. I pop by her office and bring her flowers on her birthday and stuff. She's just an amazing lady. And I did not realize what she saw. I knew that I was in some level of trouble. I knew that I had some level of fear, but I'd had that for a while. When I called her to tell her that we had settled, Oh, I'm sorry, I'm off track. The other good thing, in addition to the business and all that, a family member said, I will pay your retainer for your lawyer so you can get started. And I will try and give you some money along the way for it. But now that you've got your business going, good luck with this. Well, I was able to get this lawyer, which was, it made a difference. I didn't have to go to him for everything and be yelled at. She would write a letter or her office would call, and he didn't dare treat her the way he treated me. So when it was time to settle, and I decided to settle, I was afraid to go to court. I called her. I was driving to Annapolis one day. I called her and I said, listen, I have decided to settle. I know I've gotten everything together to fight. I had a 4-inch thick file, including lots of screenshots from his girlfriend's Facebook. His girlfriend loved to share with all her friends. My lawyer said, oh, this is beautiful. It's beautiful. I love it. But she totally understood my not using that because she said, Patrice, I am so glad you have chosen to settle. She said, I lose clients. I lose clients because their husbands kill them. And I oftentimes end up with other lawyers calling me and saying, we got a problem with this case. Or the sheriff's department calling and saying, you were in the courtroom with this person. On the way home, she got thrown out of a moving car.
Jeez.
And she said, Patrice, I didn't want to tell you this, and I never would have, but now that you've settled and now that we're coming to the end of all this, prayed. My lawyer was a Christian, and thank God. But I really prayed and hoped that you would not be one of the ones I lost.
Yeah.
That was sobering to me.
Yes.
And I realized that I had achieved some level of forgiveness. And at that time, it wasn't a full level. I was still living across the driveway from him and his
Yeah.
girlfriend. And his girlfriend would come to the window, the living room window. She had to get on her tippy toes because she was shorter. And she would be sitting there looking in to see what we were doing. I called my daughter. I was like, would you look at this? And she was like, oh, what'd she do? I mean, we were like, who does
Right.
this?
Right.
Put us on Jerry Springer. We've really got to tell this story. But anyway, when I went to create the settlement with him, we went to a very public place that was crowded. That was my doing.
Absolutely.
And when we finished everything, I took a piece of paper out of my notebook because I'd kept track of what we had promised. And I wrote on it, don't forget your savior. And I folded it up. And he had this fancy leather thing where you put the legal pad in and all this stuff, whatever. I took it and I said, hey, before you leave. And I reached over and I opened that up and I shoved the note in it. I said, read that when you get a chance and listen to what it says. And I realized that if I cared about his future as a Christian, then maybe some of the forgiveness was actually sticking.
Yes.
Now, it was hard for me during the 3-year separation up to the point of the divorce. People would say, oh, just pray for him. And I kept thinking of that song. There was a song that said, I pray, let's see, I pray that your brakes go out at the top of the
Yes,
hill.
I
I pray
remember
that
that
something
song.
falls off the window. So I thought this song was hysterical. And I had friends saying, oh, that's disgusting. And I'm like, oh, get a sense of humor. But at any rate, that's what I felt like. So I couldn't pray. So my sister said, look, I don't like what he did to you, but I am a child of God, so I will pray for him. My best friend said that. My accountability, I have an accountability partner. God love her. She's awesome. And she was a professional coach. And what I didn't know is she never asked if she could coach me. And she coached me for over a year, these powerful, wonderful questions that helped me think of what I was supposed to do. It was the best gift. That's why I want to be a coach. I saw what that does. So I spent 3 years in a divorce ministry. I have worked with scared women. I've worked with men who didn't want to divorce their wives, but their wives wanted something different. I've worked with men who were guilty because they know what they did to their wives and their kids. Mine was not to judge. That is God's position. But I was there to teach the program that we had so everyone could make
decisions, find their own peace, and rely on God.
Yes.
I now, because of all of this, can I say I've forgiven him 100%? I know for sure it's in the high 90s. And that's with some things having to be revisited over and over and over and over. Have I forgotten? No, I absolutely haven't forgotten. And sometimes something will catch me off guard and I'll be like, oh, I remember when he did such and such. But I can dismiss it more easily because I'm living in peace. I'm living in my own home. I don't even see him. But God has put a calling on my heart. I am taking coaching at the urging of one of my college professors. She knows that I want to be a psychotherapist. She knows that I want to work with women who are going through transitions such as separation, divorce, and widowhood. And there is a phenomenon called gray divorce. And it was, that term was capped by a researcher out of Bowling Green State University, or something. I think that's the title of the university. Susan Browning, I believe, was her name. Gray divorce. And that's someone typically over 50 who's getting a divorce. And I tell you, over 50 getting a divorce was my research project for my final class in my bachelor's degree. And I studied the effects of gray divorce on women. It affects them psychologically, socially, financially. Oh, when you go to Walmart to get some toilet paper and you see that lady there is old enough to be your grandma? A lot of them have to go back to work. Just, there are so many effects to it that scientists can swab the mouth, the inside of the mouth of a woman who has been going through divorce after the age of 50. And the DNA telomeres, which are like little legs on the little DNA, individual piece of DNA, are shorter, which is indicative of accelerated aging.
Whoa.
It can be turned around somewhat with nutrition. There are also supplements and things like that. But if you've got the cortisol pumping out in your system and you're just stressed all the time, and even if you are in a situation where the other person is not unkind, they just are like, you know, hey, this doesn't work for me anymore. There's still all the other stresses I mentioned. You know, family, those ladies at church, you know, employment, money, finances is a huge thing. Those things will stress. So it's interesting to me, and I loved my capstone project, but my teacher who was leading that said, Patrice, I know that financially you're not where you'd like to be, and I know you want to be a therapist. May I suggest with your personality that you try coaching? And then if you can get yourself in a position, yes, by all means, please become a therapist. Well, I have been applying for every scholarship I could find. I've been applying for great jobs that I do want and great jobs that I don't want so that I could just write a check to a college. I am going to do this, but at this time, I'm kind of on hold. That's the majority of what I think I'm going to tell you. If you have any questions, please hit me with them. I'm ready.
I'm just sitting with all of that. Just the whole story. First off, thank you for telling me this story. Two, I'm just waiting for your entire life to come out in a book so I can read every chapter. That's another thing.
Well, you know what was interesting, Dwayne? I want to throw this at you because sometimes when you think of someone over 50 getting a divorce, I see some of the people I've worked with. And time does a number on people. It does a number on all of us to some degree or another. But I had been a professional model in my late teens and in my 20s. And I think I might have even done some close to 30. I'd never let myself go. And I am very tall. Long hair, clear skin, you know, whatever. It's not that I was a train wreck and he said, I'm out of here. And it was very unsettling to me that he settled for someone far smaller than me, gray hair, no makeup, built like a military tank and walked like one. I'm like, what? What just happened? Now, I know it's not fair to judge, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm perfect, because, you know, people that say, oh, I'm perfect, have people leave them even quicker. But it's like, I've never understood some of the mechanics of this. And I think one of the things in forgiveness that I had to do, when I started forgiving him, I realized there was someone else that needed to be forgiven.
Say that one more time, I couldn't hear you.
When I started forgiving him, I realized there was someone else that needed to be forgiven. Mm. And that was me. I forgave myself for choices. The divorce program that I work in often says, well, everybody has some part in it. Okay. Yeah. But never brought the girlfriend. Never brought the girlfriend before that or the girlfriend after that or the, you know, never encouraged the booze. Yeah, okay. Everybody has things to deal with living with other people. It's just being human. Never had to deal with the cooking part. My meals were superb all the time. 20 years of being a chef will do that to you.
Absolutely. And
professional training. I was trained in French cooking. Yeah. So
okay.
At any rate, I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself because I realized that perhaps many years earlier, this was not the ideal choice. And I had some friends say, what are you doing? Why are you marrying him? And I was like, oh, good together. It helps to listen to other people. But I had to forgive myself. And I had to forgive myself for not continuing school long in 20-year marriage. We weren't the richest family in the world, but if I had gotten some of the same grants and scholarships, I could have had that bachelor's and not been on this job search. Prior to getting the woman's business, I had about 4 to 6 months of job search. And I had some people, some elders at church trying to lead me on that. They got to the point where they were saying, well, could you work nights at the Wawa? And I'm like, I'm over 50. I have 4 daughters. This is not that there's anything wrong with people working that job, but I'm like, can't I hold out for something a little bit more like what I had in mind? You know? Mm-hmm. So I had to forgive myself for not finishing my education.
Yeah.
You know, various things. And forgiveness in general has been life-changing.
Yes. So you said something that was so key to me. You said you had to take bite-sized chunks of forgiveness. So could you go a little bit more into that of what that looked like for you to do that?
That looked like my taking little things. Okay. If I had said, I'm going to forgive him everything, that would have been a David. I drove up and he came to the car before I even opened the door. And when I opened it's hard to forgive in those situations. So if you take each little thing, like sand in an hourglass, it builds. And there may be some things you hold back, the whole girlfriend next door thing, and just some other things were harder. So I took the ones I could take. And people can identify things that they can take. It may be one conversation. And just know that if you forgive that conversation that was very hard for you to hear or just made you mad that day,
right,
you're freeing yourself. And it may only be one thing, but when you do that another time and you do that another time, you're going to find it was almost like some type of meter on a machine. I started forgiving and they added up. So by the time this meter started going around, Maybe it hadn't gone all the way to the other side, total forgiveness, but it was way up in a different area, almost like having a full gas tank.
Yes.
So bite-sized pieces, you know, even just, well, heck, if you have like a lot of cleaning to do in your house, break it into bite-sized pieces. Anything that is hard to do, hard to swallow, bite-sized pieces.
I like that. I like that. Another thing that was said was, I want you to really emphasize, you said by not forgiving, you were only hurting yourself.
Yes.
Could you go into that and explain that?
I think that I was holding on mainly because I wanted people to understand I was hurt and that it was valid and it was real. He had a position in the community where, for a while at least, he was looked up to. And I felt like there were a lot of people that were judging me and saying, oh, well, if he left her, it must have been her. It couldn't have been him. And while we all may have some part in it, you know, I can't honestly say mine was a gigantic part. Maybe years and years of, I don't know, changing my hair color. You know, maybe it freaked him out that one day I was a blonde and one day I was red. I don't know. You don't know what gets on people when you live with them. I tend to be late for things more often than not. Just a little bit, and I've gotten a whole lot better. But that was, you know, so I'm sure there were things he didn't like about me. But I was holding back because I was afraid if it went away, it wouldn't be real. No one would listen to my story. Nobody would take it seriously. And people would expect me to be okay right away. And I was not okay. I hurt. Did I hurt from losing the marriage? I hurt from what I thought the marriage would be initially, but we had enough bad years before the separation happened that it actually freed me in some ways. And I don't mean freed me like I have been divorced from him for 3 years. It took us 3 years to get that divorce. So it's been 6 years since he came into the kitchen intoxicated and said, by the way, I'm leaving you on Monday. In that time, I have not dated. I've been there 100% for my four girls. I have seen exponential healing in all of them. Different degrees, but just amazing. I have put myself into school. I have put myself into working with others in the ministry because there are people that hurt. And I've recently worked with someone that was married 37 years before her husband left, and another woman that was married 59 years. My lawyer said she couldn't believe it when a 96-year-old woman came into her office and said, I want a divorce. My husband, who's 98, is fooling around. It was like, whoa, okay. Interesting job you have, my dear lawyer.
I have, that's brand new.
Oh, but at any rate, by holding back for whatever reason I was holding back, it caused me to collect things, almost like taking a walk and bending over and picking up rocks and putting them in your pocket. They could be little ones or big ones or whatever. They accumulate and they weigh you down.
Yeah.
Everything I held onto added to the other things, and it became heavy.
Yeah.
It was so liberating, and that's the perfect word. I don't mean liberating like women's liberation. I mean liberating almost like when World War II was over and people were liberated from concentration camps.
Whoa. That's powerful.
Yeah, that kind of freedom. And if you ever have a chance, Corrie ten Boom was a prisoner in Nazi camps, and most of her family was killed. There is something online where she actually was at an event and she met one of the guards from the concentration camp. And she sat there and forgave him. My ex did not kill my family. My ex did not cause me to starve.
Well, you made me go to a food pantry with a drug addict and a pervert. But anyway, my ex did not do the things that happened to that dear woman in the concentration camp.
Yeah.
And that meant so much to me to hear her story. I realized how free she was and how she was fulfilling what God wanted her in doing that.
You said what God wanted to do what now?
She was fulfilling what God wanted for her.
Yes.
In doing that.
Yes.
And that was just powerful for me. So if you ever have a chance to look up Corey Ten Boom, she was Dutch, so it's T-E-N and then
T-O-N.
Just an amazing story. And forgiveness is worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another thing that you did, when I tell you, this blew my mind, when you wrote that note and put it into that legal folder or binder, whatever you want to call it, that was powerful.
Okay, well, let me tell you some more background about that. When I met him, he was a seminary student.
Whoa.
Wanted to be a preacher. But we ended up starting this business. One thing led to another, and he didn't end up being a preacher, although he was always active in church. When everything happened with us, he walked away from church. He was there long enough to announce that I was mentally ill.
Whoa.
But he walked away. And if you talk to him about God, he didn't want to talk. I learned later that he has gone back to church. He's changed to a different denomination, but it's something he wants and something that fits. And oddly enough, when COVID hit in the early days, I was sick. I have every reason to believe I had it because I was tested and I had huge antibodies. I had spent 11 weeks sick. I got a text from him with COVID. Do you all need food? Do you need anything? We were actually in a food supply type business. So I said, well, what do you mean? Why are you? He said, well, I just know this is a hard time for a lot of people. And I know you're self-employed. And I just feel like this is the right thing to do. He said, you put up with so much from me. Mm-hmm. And the least I can do is try and help now. For about 3 months, he shared extra grocery items and stuff. And I don't mean like food pantry kind of stuff. I mean from our business.
Oh, wow.
And it was a little awkward. I would see my daughter. One of my kids works for him. It was a little awkward, but I realized that that was like an olive branch.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we'll be friends. I cannot forget what he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just take things. And I really realized that perhaps that note or perhaps the doing of the Holy Spirit, maybe my note had nothing to do with it. Maybe it was just God's design.
Yeah.
But I am glad that my girls can see him.
Yeah.
Back in the family of Christ. I don't know all the details. I don't need to know all the details. We're not close. We never will be. That would be very dysfunctional. I see people that hang around with their exes. I spoke to somebody that goes on vacation. She and her boyfriend go on vacation with her ex and his new wife. It's like I can't wrap my head around things like that. I don't get the mechanics of those relationships. So anyway, I don't have to. I'm here to talk about peace. And the peace that passes all understanding can be started with forgiveness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. This story is amazing. Like, I'm still just sitting here absorbing everything, getting That's all okay. of it.
That's okay. And if you have any questions, I'm still more than ready to share, because I realized long ago, especially in the ministry, sharing my story helped others. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to share stories, particularly, it seemed like the group that I worked with divorce would split into those that had maybe contentious divorces, but not scary ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I found when I told my story, I would have crying women in the hall that wanted somebody to hold them so they could tell their story, wanted someone to pray with them. My story is powerful. The word history, if you take that, it's his story. Well, let's use that generic he, as in certain forms of literature. Her story, his story, whatever. There's power there. And if I can use what I went through to help someone else, then it wasn't just to give me wrinkles. It wasn't just to give me an ulcer. It was something that I can see in a bigger plan. And I'm actually designing a program for women.
Yeah.
It's going to include the coaching. It's going to be something that I can even flex once I am a therapist and use it in that. It includes a book. It includes a workbook. It includes a course. It is not done yet. I am still working on it. But that's a population I really want to coach to. I can coach to anyone. And after a lifetime as a creative, I think another field for me is coaching to creatives and people in the arts.
Okay.
I love men. But I feel that my story, my past, my variety of careers makes me someone that can really help women. So I will coach. But my coaching focus is women. And if I can help some, they don't have to be over 50 getting a divorce. If they're 30 and they're confused about something, or even a teenager. I love people. I love people because God loved us.
Wow. Thank you for that. I want to say thank you for coming on and sharing your story and sharing all these nuggets of wisdom. So if people do want to coach with you, how can they do that?
Oh, is this something you can add later? Because I'm in the process of building my whole business, building my website, everything. Can we put a postscript on this at another
time? Oh, yes,
time?
We can. Yes, we can. We can definitely do that.
They could contact, if you've got a contact through the podcast, they can contact you and you can forward it to me.
Okay.
But I don't have a mechanism yet. I do have a small clientele, but they've generally been face-to-face people that, I mean, I'm doing it on Zoom, but they've been people that I know.
Okay.
But no, I would love to work with people, and I will make that available to you.
Okay.
And when I have website and everything, or maybe I can come back and we can talk more about forgiveness.
Absolutely. I would love to have you back on. That's not even a question. All right. Well, again, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you doing this, being honest, and just thank you for this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dwayne. I've enjoyed this so much, and I would love to come back.
I'd love to have you back.
Didn't I say that was a powerful story? Oh, that was a powerful story. And when she put that note in the folder, oh my gosh, that was powerful. I want to thank Patrice for coming on the podcast and sharing her story. I appreciate it. That was just a powerful story. So powerful. Also, her daughter, Grace, aka my sister, has a podcast of her own. If you're a fan of 911 Lone Star, they have a podcast called 911 Lone Star Roundup, where they talk about the show. And the podcast is on iTunes and Spotify. So check those out. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say, welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.